Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of M365 Voice. My name is Mike Mararani.
I'm Sarah Hasi.
And I'm Antonio Mayo.
And today we want to chat a bit about the Agent 365, a new feature, new agent, new tool, whatever you want to call it, that was released to GA by Microsoft on May 1st. We'll see if... our thoughts on it, if we have used it, if we have played around with it, what does it do, what are the benefits, and if it's really useful for organizations to have an Agent 365 enabled in the tenant. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts, sort of first round of, you know, opinions? And
my first thought is it's hard to discern facts. Facts about Agent 365, because depending on who you ask, the facts change. I think that there's just a lot of unknowns around it still from Microsoft and from clients. I think that a lot of people are just getting started. So I think it's going to take a little bit to have that settle up.
Yeah, if you want to take like a step back to like explain what Agent 365 is all about for people who have not heard of it, or they saw the announcements and they really don't know what it is. It's all about like governance of agents in your organization, in your tenants. If you have a really, from a, let's say, a high level overview of Agent 365, is for IT admins to make sure they have a really good understanding or overview of all the agents in their tenant across from different platforms. Whatever that agent location is, or what kind of, you know, technology they use, it's a way for them to see what's going on in the tenant and how we can manage all the agents across the tenant.
Microsoft describes it as their control plane for agents.
The control
plane. And I do think it's good that Microsoft has come out with a solution that they are describing as the control plane for agents, because before, if you all remember, Agent 365 was announced as a surprise at Ignite last year. Right. I think we as MVPs might have found out it existed 20 hours before the announcement. I think that's what it was. And it's good that they came out with what they're calling their control plane for agents, because before that, controlling agents, monitoring agents, governing agents was a combination of, you know, controls and switches in a myriad of solutions across Microsoft 365, right? Some of the controls were in the Teams Admin Center, some in the Power Platform, some in Purview, some in Defender, some in the M365 Admin Center. Now that part is still true, that there are controls spread across multiple solutions, but the fact that they are centralizing it at least in one offering called Agent 365, I think is a good thing. I think it still has a ways to go. We know it just went GA May 1st, and there are various controls available. So it's not all agent controls are in one place. Some of them are still in Entra ID. Some are in Defender, some in Purview, some in the M3 Admin Center. But at least it is centralizing the conversation, if you will. And it is a route to figuring out how you govern and control agents across your organization.
And it's important to point out that these, Microsoft says, and I think that a lot of people are, we need to test it and validate, but it's supposed to cover agents that are not Microsoft Copilot specific. So it's supposed to be able to a certain extent, auto-detect other AI agents and have a registry built in that you can use to register non-Microsoft agents to provide more background information. But I'm still fuzzy as to what you have to register and what it auto-detects.
So today it'll auto-detect most agents in the Microsoft Cloud platform.
Exactly.
Right. So whether those are SharePoint agents, Teams Toolkit agents, Copilot Studio agents, Agent Builder agents, and I think Foundry agents. From what
Even
I understand,
third-party agents as well.
Well, third-party agents, I don't think it auto-detects. You have to manually register them in Agent 365 for them to be managed.
Correct.
Okay. So the auto detection is the Microsoft agents. Non-Microsoft agents, it will help you get visibility on and manage, but...
Is that the scope for the design of the product? Because I thought that the scope was that eventually they wanted to auto-detect more non-Microsoft agents.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Today, you have to manually register them. Going forward, the auto detection, I think, this is not confirmed yet, will be tied to agent ID. So one of the fundamental pieces of Agent 365 is agent ID. So if you go into, like, if you think about agents generally, agents are starting to get their own identities, right? So within the identity platform in Entra ID, you're now going to have human identities and non-human identities. And those non-human identities that are tied to agents, those are going to be in a new blade in Entra now called agent ID. So exactly. If you go there, you'll see identities associated with agents. Now, if you're building a Copilot Studio agent, for example, you can configure within Copilot Studio automatically create an identity in agent ID, in Entra ID. So you can have that automatically done in Copilot Studio. If you use the, I think it's the Agent Toolkit SDK, there you can also programmatically create an identity and agent ID associated with your agent. Now that fundamental component, agent ID, right? You think about how you manage and control agents at the identity level is one of the most fundamental places you can do that. And you can associate conditional access policies with them and other security policies with those identities. So I suspect that non-Microsoft agents trying to detect them will likely need some sort of integration with agent ID, or that's one easy way to do it.
I think that's probably the way Microsoft is going with, is because the introduction of agent ID and they're treating it like a user, but it is an agent, that anything that you want to install on a tenant, it has to be registered in the Entra ID as an agent ID. That way it will be automatically detected by Agent 365.
That's how I suspect they're going to do that automatic detection.
And if you look at the agent, if you're just going into the agent ID, if you go in, it lists all the agents for you, the same thing that it does for users. And if you click on a specific agent, it has pretty much the same panel as a user ID, from the sign-ins, what kind of roles and permissions it has, who is the owner, any roles and administrations, all the things that you see there.
The only difference between an agent ID and a human identity, like human identity and an agent identity, is one attribute. They're the exact same schema in Entra ID, except for one additional attribute that agent IDs have, which is, I think it's, is agent or something like that. Something saying that identity is associated with an agent. But the rest is identical.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So talking about Agent 365, one of the things that we often talk about on our podcast is getting your enterprise organized, ready for piloting or using or implementing Agent 365. And I think that this is a really interesting one because there are so many different functional areas of your organization that need to be represented in that. And Antonio, you and I talk a lot about that when it comes to sensitivity labeling, retention labeling. You need to have a cross-functional, multidisciplined approach, right? You need to have your information security teams involved in looking at Agent 365. Your identity and access management teams need to be involved, right? Your owners of M365 and of Copilot and agents all need to be involved.
If you have AI administrators or people that are responsible for AI generally in your organization, they need to be involved.
And I think it's important to organize that process. And I always like to focus on things like key objectives, making sure that you know what you want to get out of your Agent 365 pilot or implementation, and think about your RACI. So who's responsible, who's accountable, who's consulted, who's informed, because it's one thing turning it on is actually straightforward. The harder part is what you do with it.
100%. And I think a lot of the roles that are involved in that, like you mentioned many of them, some of them aren't super obvious, right? So going through the exercise of figuring out, okay, who are the people internally that need to be responsible, accountable, consulted, informed? These things are at the typical RACI chart. That's an important exercise to go through because, some that you kind of don't think about is your team's admins probably need to be part of it because some of the controls are in teams. Your Power Platform admins, because some of the controls around agents are in the Power Platform admin center. So it is still this kind of combination of controls across the various areas of responsibility in Microsoft 365. Another, I'll say, fundamental piece of Agent 365 is the registry, which I think you talked a bit about, Mike. So having a central inventory of all of your agents. You know, some of the presentations I've done in the past, I've talked about how there's five different places in M365 to go to for an inventory of agents, and they all kind of show different numbers. So the agent registry within Agent 365, that is supposed to be the central inventory going forward.
And I think a lot of companies are in their infancy or toddler years in terms of even deciding what kinds of metadata or inventory registry they want and need to have. We still see many companies that even for SharePoint sites don't necessarily have any attestation processes, inventory processes, anything where you routinely check to make sure there are owners still employed, somebody's checking on permissions. Same thing goes with AI, right? But you need to define what are all of those things that you want and need to track and actions that need to be taken.
Yeah, we've always talked about governance back in the days, like governance for SharePoint, governance of data, governance for Teams. And maybe some organization took it seriously, implemented governance, and some maybe they just say, yeah, we can manage it without really tools or any or enforcing any policies because we trust the users. But now they can't really ignore that governance on the agent side because an agent can be installed and does things and people don't know exactly what kind of harm it can do, especially from a data leaks perspective, internally or externally. Imagine because you're an M365 Copilot licensed user, you create an agent with an agent builder, anyone can do this, or through Copilot Studio, and you go and then consumes information from your SharePoint sites and you end up publishing that into a public website. So that's a huge risk there. So without having that kind of tool to at least have some insights of what's going on inside your tenant through the Agent 365, you're basically absolutely opening the doors to exposing your data to the outside world.
We've been at this SharePoint governance game for what, 15 years?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be at this agent governance game, I suspect, for years. Because I agree with what you're saying, Mike and Sarah, but I think it's going to take a while for organizations to get there. There's a lot of talk around it.
I think it will, but when we think about AI and vulnerabilities, it's only a question of time until some huge settlements and fines are levied around AI in weak spots, especially around agents. And suddenly it's going to become all that organizations are looking to think about and needing to control. So it's a smart idea to plan ahead for that. And the first part of that, I think, starts with coalescing the cross-functional people that you need to be involved in getting them educated on what Agent 365 is.
Well, I like that you talked about the registry. There is like the hidden map for the Agent 365 that basically it's a map that shows you where the agents are. And you just click on it and it exposes it more and you click on agent and then it goes into the details of an agent, the permissions, what kind of data access does it have, who are the users, all these things, where is it published to?
That's the agent map. It gives you a visual representation of what an agent does, what its behavior is like, how much it's used, trends, that kind of thing. Yeah, that part's really nice, actually.
So let's talk about cost and licensing and what we know so far.
So $15 per user per month, US.
Or everyone in your tenant?
Don't know.
We don't know. I've heard conflicting answers. I'll state a guess. I can't imagine that it would be licensed any other way than every user in your tenant.
Every user has to be licensed. It has been. I've had that discussion before with Microsoft, and every user has to be licensed because that's the way they can kind of detect agents related to a specific user.
So and that's, what you're paying for there is the enablement that should any user ever create an agent, Copilot chat agent, M36, or premium and basic Copilot agents, but you're paying for the capability to detect if they ever were to create, not that you're paying for who's creating now.
That's right. Exactly. People can think that it's pretty hefty price. Like you think about, you know, 10,000 people, that's a lot of money, right? That's $150,000 a month. That's $1.8 million a year just to do some agent governance. People think that might be a lot of money. It is not cheap. but it can also protect you from data leaks and see if there is a data breach, how much money you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm. I made the same case back in the day for SharePoint Advanced Management or SAM, very expensive price point per user per month. Mm-hmm. Similarly, had to license everyone. But when you're talking about these governance and control mechanisms, that I think it is a cost of doing business in the AI space.
Exactly.
There is still a lot of questions out there about what's included and what isn't. Like, I think some of the stuff that we've talked about definitely is included, right? Agent ID, the agent registry, the agent map, a few other things. But what's unclear is if the agent controls within the Power Platform are part of Agent ID or not, or part of Agent 365 or not. Because you can do a lot of this with the controls in the Power Platform Admin Center. You can't necessarily do everything, but you can get pretty far. We have gotten pretty far with governing and controlling agents with that. So is that part of Agent 365? I don't know. Some of the things that I've seen say that, the audit log entries related to agent activities is part of Agent 365. So if I want to see the audit log activities that that agents do, do I have to go get Agent 365 licenses? Like, I would hope not. Because
that's a great year.
That feels kind of wrong that, someone builds an agent in my environment because they have a Copilot license.
It great. Should They're have audit logability of something being done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. To see the audit log, like to charge me based on the type of entry in the audit log doesn't feel right.
Although coalescing that into a reporting methodology like the heat map where you can more easily trace it, now that is a value-added benefit that they can charge more for.
Agreed.
Can they really, technically, are they gonna, can they really do this in the audit log that can charge me or they can disable?
They kind of do it with DSPM now. So with Data Security Posture Management and Purview, to see Copilot log entries, to see charts related to the usage of Copilot and data put into Copilot that's coming from the audit log, you need a Copilot license for that. So maybe still doesn't feel right.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't. That's an interesting dialogue.
Yeah. So there's a lot of those types of questions still out there around Agent 365, what's included and what's not.
And then did we mention that we think Agent 365 is likely going to be part of E7?
It has been announced that it's part of E7. Yes,
correct. So
I find that's a hard question for a lot of organizations. They've just gotten to E5 or they've just bought Copilot licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're asking them to buy more licenses for every user, either Agent 365 or upgrade to E7. Like, that's a hard proposition for some companies that have just gotten there in terms of licenses.
Though a lot of companies that have bought E5 bought it for the Purview and security and compliance controls. And now if you're going to have E7 with more security and compliance controls, how do they justify not going to E7? Yeah. Which is exactly why Microsoft has designed it that way, right? Because, in for a penny, in for everything you got.
Yeah.
So, and then some. Clear as mud.
As always.
And to maybe add to the mix, there are some third-party tools out there that are actually pretty good at surfacing agents in your environment and helping you govern and control agents also. That throws a bit of confusion in the mix also. Like, do you go with that, Mike, your calculation of $1.8 million a year? Or do you look through a third-party tool that does some or enough of this?
Yeah.
And how expensive are those and how do their features compare?
True. How expensive, but some of those third-party tools, not only agent-specific, they give you governance, overall governance on the M365 and sometimes they extend to the Power Platform. So it might be a value added to go with third-party maybe if they offer you some agent governance as well.
That's right. Yeah. So lots of questions to consider.
Lots of questions. In the next few months, we'll tell how we're going to evolve with this. All right. With that, it was love this topic. We had more questions than answers sometimes, but we'll probably...
Sometimes or all the time.
Yeah, we'll probably revisit this topic in the next... Yeah.
But we're all unified in agreeing that we don't know what's happening. Like... unlike usual, where you have two out of the three of us that maybe somewhat agree, and one is like way over there.
All right. And with that, thanks for watching. I will catch you next time.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.